You're listening to a podcast from 702.
For the curious.
I love how that house tune is getting all sorts of discussion and debates going on Twitter. Oliver Spicy, as always, says someone should have told Abel that house tracks always take 5 years to actually get there. Don't worry, the house track is playing in the background while I'm going to speak to Vickers. By the time I'm done with Vickers Stale from Levitt Attorneys, then we will get to the lyrical part that I actually want you to hear. And of course, he says DJ Eusebius on the deck. And Madeleine, I've got you covered, my darling. I will send it to you privately, and then you can also just pump away as you are working.
Eusebius McKaiser on 702.
But I want to get back to a very serious matter. This morning, Open Line was dominated when I read for you from this incredible, incredible South African National Defence Force, quite frankly, in my opinion, cover up an explanatory affidavit of the first to third respondents on this particular matter of how it came to be that Collins Corsa is dead. And there are so many parts of this that just doesn't make sense to me. Vickers Stale is the attorney for the family who's been on the show before. Vickers, you are incredibly busy. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Good morning, Mr.
Having read their summary of events, the conclusions that they have arrived at, what is your reaction as an attorney going through the findings by the board?
It is obviously it's a sham report. Not even the dates make sense. But the military has now appointed themselves judge, jury, and executioner and found their own members not guilty, whilst ignoring the family and other evidence. They didn't even interview the family members. They just relied on statements, which I also don't believe because I was present when the statements were provided to SAPS and JMPD, and those statements all confirm exactly what happened on the day. It wasn't just simply a pushing and clapping of Collins Corsa and he died of his own accord. It's absolutely a ridiculous report.
One thing that doesn't make sense to me is that the report acknowledges that officially the, quote, cause of death is blunt force head injury. If that is the case, then, quote, pushing and clapping doesn't seem to me like proximate causes of death. Am I to infer as a citizen that Mr. Corsa must have died after the soldiers and everyone else, JMPD and SAPS members had left the scene? Because I cannot imagine that, quote, pushing and clapping can lead to blunt force head injury resulting in immediate or imminent death.
No, that's why the report is so ridiculous. It implies that after Collins was nearly pushed and clapped, as the military calls it, by two female officers, he went back into his own house and someone in his house or himself beat himself to death and caused a blunt force trauma. It is absolutely ridiculous. There are videos and evidence and testimony of numerous witnesses that saw the soldier beating Collins with a gun. For the report to now say he was nearly pushed and he walked back in and whatever he died from is not their fault, it's ridiculous.
Vickers, the board also says that the cause of the incident was gender inequality and provocation. How do you respond to that? They go on to explain and say specifically, quote, a lack of respect towards female soldiers, that those were the causes of the incident.
Absolutely opportunistic for them to say that. The soldiers entered his yard when they saw a cup of alcohol and then entered into the house. To now shift the blame to gender inequality, it's ridiculous and it baffles my mind. I don't know how they came to that conclusion when there's no evidence to that. And to just say that, and not to merely say that because the females were soldiers, or the soldiers were females, and they were involved in the provocation, then they were or pushed back by Collins because they were females, just doesn't make sense. There was no such thing, or that point wasn't raised in any of the affidavits in the High Court application. It only came in now. I just don't believe that. It cannot be true.
What about proportionality? Let's assume there was provocation of some sort, because obviously there are now contestation of facts. In law, what would have been a proportionate response? Let's assume for sake of argument that Mr. Corsa, as well as the second gentleman, Mr. Muvango, were jeering at women soldiers for argument's sake. What is policy and what does the law say are ways in which, at any rate, SANDF members or JMPD members or SAPS members ought to handle a scenario of that kind?
The law is clear on that. Even if the soldiers were provoked, their conduct must be in proportion to what's being done to them. If they were just being glared at or even maybe pushed by Collins to then hit him with a gun, it's completely out of proportion. The military and SAPS are entitled to use force to arrest people or to prevent a crime, but it must be proportioned. You cannot kill someone for throwing a rock at your car the same way you cannot kill someone for glaring at you.
Incredibly, the recommendation that comes out of this report is, quote, programs on gender mainstreaming should be developed to educate our citizens on gender equality, specifically on security forces. How do you react to that?
It is clear then now that the SNEF will not accept responsibility for what happened and blame this gender equality excuse. And to now say that the public must be trained or advised on gender issues is absolutely ridiculous. The soldiers were at fault here. They didn't do their job properly. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They did what they were not allowed to do. But instead of accepting responsibility and saying that soldiers must go for training, they are now shifting the responsibility to citizens who must be more cognizant of gender inequalities. It does not make sense, and that's why I say it's a sham report.
The final findings, number 5, when it comes to the comments by the convening authority, and this is signed off by the Chief of Joint Operations, Lieutenant General Mapanya, is when I read number 5 of 6 different statements that they make that are concluding comments, is based on the above statement, the SANDF may not be held liable for the death of Mr. Khosa. Is that really the end of the matter?
Definitely not as far as we are concerned. The civil claim will continue. The man was killed by the government, regardless of which branch of it was. But we will also take this report further. This report cannot stand, and we do not believe in it, and we do not accept it. Even though the report concludes that they cannot be held responsible, we will not be leaving it there.
So what are the next steps?
For now, we are waiting for further reports. Another set must be filed by 4 June. And once we've got all those reports, we'll decide on how we're going to attack them. Will it be individually or will it be collectively in another application?
Last question, Vickers. Beyond this individual report that you have just critiqued, the prayers that you had sought were quite numerous and they were, by and large, all of them granted, such as, for example, a code of conduct that had to be developed and had to be publicized. Can you also just officially speak to the public? What formal correspondence has there been to demonstrate compliance with each one of the different parts of the judgment and the ruling from Judge Fabricius?
Then lies the difficulty. The only formal correspondence I've received from government following the judgment was this affidavit that was filed yesterday or the day before. I've not received any other communication to confirm that they have complied with any other orders. But I have seen the code of conduct that has been published, and I've spoken with other members of the military and veterans, and they all agree that that code of conduct does not even apply to the current situation, and it is not correct in terms of the order.
Vickers, as always, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks, Isidus. Ciao.
That was 702
for the curious. Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
That was Vickers Stale from Ian Levitt Attorneys, and Vickers is specifically the attorney that, of course, is responsible for this case on behalf of the family members of Collins Khosa. And you can hear there that the attorney on behalf of his client, not at all convinced that this is a document that will pass any kind of oversight, legal scrutiny when one goes through it. His client had not been, none of them on his version were even interviewed by the SANDF. So on what basis they can come to definitive factual conclusions just does not make sense in law. I mean, that's very, very clear. And then this idea that you accept that Mr. Khosa had died of head injuries due to blunt force trauma, but you claim in the same breath that all that the members who were present there from our different forces had done was to give him a little push. I mean, that just doesn't make sense, because the only way you can then account for this man's death is if you are suggesting that someone else killed him within a couple of minutes, while a bunch of mates who are all together who are being harassed for drinking lawfully inside their own property, why would they suddenly turn on each other and it would turn deadly? It's just too improbable. And here we've got to ask ourselves, what is likely to have actually occurred? And quite frankly, I would love to see this kind of report being challenged, even in law, so that we can actually have a more robust engagement on the processes that were and were not followed by the SANDF in the compiling of it. I mean, it really is an absolute, absolute disgrace.